1 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to leave the book of Psalms this morning to go to 1 Timothy 1 for Memorial Day weekend, which Memorial Day weekend is a day that we've set aside to remember those who have died and given their lives fighting for this country. And it's a day to remember those and honor those good soldiers who gave the ultimate sacrifice. You know, while we remember the good soldiers who gave their life for our country, I wonder, did you know this morning that as Christians, we are commanded to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ? I want you to look at your handout at the very top, and I want you to notice what Paul told Timothy. He said, "Thou therefore endure hardness." And then I want you to look at this. He tells Timothy, "Timothy, I want you to endure hardness as a good," what, church? "Soldier of Jesus Christ." Now, if we're soldiers in the Lord's army, who's our commander in chief? That's right, it's Jesus Christ. He's called the captain of our salvation in Hebrews 2:10. And I was thinking this morning, I thought, man, what a commander in chief we have. I thought, man, our commander didn't just simply, bask in the luxuries of heaven. He didn't just simply bask in the glories of heaven and then send us out into battle and say, "Go get them, boys." No, we have a commander-in-chief that went before us. He left heaven. He invaded enemy territory. He went to the front lines of the battle. He did hand-to-hand combat with our enemy, Satan. And the Bible says that he destroyed the devil by dying on the cross for our sins and for all the sins of mankind, and by rising up again the third day. Jesus Christ, our commander, came to this earth, did hand-to-hand combat with the devil, and he won the victory this morning. Amen. The Bible says that by death, he destroyed him that had the power of death. That is the devil. And I love 1 John 3:8. If you look at the screen, it says, "For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might," and I love that next word, "that he might," what? "Destroy the works of the devil." Aren't you glad for our commander-in-chief this morning? When we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are enlisted in the Lord's army, and God's desire for us is to be good soldiers and to war a good warfare while we live on this earth. I like what Paul told Timothy in verse 18. If you'll look down here at 1 Timothy 1, verse 18. "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them," I like this, "mightest war a good warfare." Can I tell you something this morning? This is a battle that we are in. We are in a spiritual battle, and precious souls are at stake. And I believe that this is a question worth answering. How can you and I be good soldiers of Jesus Christ? He told Timothy, "I want you to endure hardness as a good soldier." How can you and I be good soldiers of Jesus Christ? Well, 1 Timothy 1, verses 12 through 18 explain to us exactly how we can be a good soldier for Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I, for one, I know that my life is short. I know that I've got maybe 70, 80, 90 years. I think about that and I think, wow, okay, I'm over halfway there, you know. And I think about my life, and I don't know about you, but the longer I live, and boy, when you're young, you don't think about these things, you know. But as you move up, you begin to think about the fact that you're going to die. And that one day when you die, you're going to have to look your Savior. You're going to have to look the commander-in-chief right in the eyeballs. We're going to have to look Jesus in the eye. And I don't know about you, but I want so much for him to look at me and say, "Well done, you've been a good soldier." Amen. Been a good soldier. And man, this morning, I'm just eaten up with this thing of being a good soldier for Jesus Christ. It's been on my heart all week. And I'd planned on preaching something out of Psalms this morning. And as I thought about Memorial Day and I thought about the good soldiers who have died for our country, I thought, man, we need to be good soldiers for Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I want to give you four simple thoughts from the text about how you and I can be good soldiers for Jesus Christ. Number one is this in your handout. Good soldiers fulfill the assignment that they have been given. Good soldiers fulfill the assignment that they've been given. Now, a good soldier takes orders, right, from his commander. And what does a good soldier do? He takes the orders and what? Follows them, does them. No questions asked, no arguments. A good soldier takes orders and knows how to obey them. I mean, imagine for me, with me for a moment, a private in boot camp. And he takes an order, the sergeant comes and marks out an order to this private in boot camp. And then the private says, you know, that's an okay idea, Sarge. But I think I got a better way. And I think what we need to do is, and you know what? He wouldn't get any farther than that, would he? And man, that sergeant would be all over him, wouldn't he? Like white on rice. I mean, he wouldn't get any, and you know what? We laugh at that. And that may make for good Gomer Pyle episodes, you know. But you know what? We may laugh at that, but think about this. Isn't that what we do with the commander-in-chief of this universe sometimes? I mean, the one who created everything and holds everything in his hands. And yet we have the audacity to think that we know better than God. We have the audacity to think, well, I've got a better way, God. I think I know a better way. I think, God, I know what you should have done. The Apostle Paul is a great example of a good soldier. I want you to look at verse 12. He says in verse 12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. You see, in your handout, it says that God called Paul into the ministry, and Paul obeyed. Look at the screen up here. It says, God called Paul into the ministry, and Paul, say it with me, obeyed. You say, okay, sometimes we take that flippantly and we think that's a light thing. Like, well, Paul couldn't have done anything else anyway. Let me remind you of something, okay? Paul lost a lot when he went into the ministry. You see, the Apostle Paul was very brilliant. He was very sharp. He had risen through the ranks of Judaism, the religion of Judaism, to where the Apostle Paul was very high ranking. He was a Pharisee. And because of his faith in Christ and because of his surrender to the commander-in-chief to go into the ministry, it brought persecution and it brought great loss in Paul's life. It cost him a great deal. In fact, sometime read Philippians 3, 5 through 8, and Paul gives his testimony. And Paul says, I was circumcised the eighth day. He said, I was of the stock of Israel. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. He said, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He said, I was a Pharisee. As touching the law, blameless. He said, man, I had risen up so high. He said that he was more zealous in Galatians 1 than most anybody else. The Apostle Paul had a very high-ranking position. But you know what he says right after he explains his high-ranking position? He says, but what things were gained to me? The things that really meant a lot to me. The things that I really put a lot of stock in. He said, those things that were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. And he says, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Man, that is spoken as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Jesus gave Paul an assignment. He said, Paul, I want you to take the gospel that I've committed to you, the gospel of grace, and I want you to take it out there to Gentiles and to Jews. And Paul went out and he fulfilled the assignment, and he said in 2 Timothy 4, 7, at the end of his life, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I have kept the faith. Paul was a good soldier. Would you agree with me? Can I remind you of something? Paul's not here anymore. Paul's been gone a long time. Paul's been gone for years. Paul sacrificed and gave his life for the cause of Christ. But Paul's not here anymore. Paul's not here. He only had one life he could give for his Savior, and that was it. He's not here to give his life again. He's not here to just be this, you know, this person that just goes out there and just gives his all to see the gospel spread. He's not here to do that anymore. Let me ask you something. Do you believe that there's a cause worth fighting for today? You think so? Do you believe that souls are worth sacrificing for? Well, what does God want you to do in His army? Think about that. I'm talking about on not in a general, generic way. I mean specifically, your life. What does He want you to do? What does God want you? What does the commander-in-chief want you to do? You know, one of my heart's desires and prayers is that God will raise up some people in our church with just like a Paul attitude, just a reckless abandon. That, you know what, I can't do anything but just serve the Lord in the ministry. That's just, I got to do that. And just a heart and a desire to just take whatever life you got left and just give it to Him. Just surrender it to Him. Lord, here I am, I'm yours. And some people that'll say, man, I'm going to get in that Bible Institute. I'm going to get my 3-year Bible diploma. I'm going to prepare myself. And I want to use my life to serve Him. I want to use my life to go into. I'll never forget when I surrendered my life. I was 16 years old. I hadn't been raised in a Christian home. But I remember God just doing a work in my heart through His Word. And I remember just wrestling with that thing. And I remember the night I finally just surrendered and said, okay, that's it. I'm going to begin preparing myself for the ministry. And I remember putting my head on my pillow that night with such peace, knowing that I had done the right thing. I mean, what is it? Can I just submit to you this morning, there's more to your life than just going out here, making a bunch of money, and then dying and leaving it to somebody else. There's more to life than that. The Bible says, what? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God? And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Listen, folks, this body is the Lord's. Hey, you may look at me this morning and you say, well, boy, I don't see much. Hey, this is personal property of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? If you're saved, you are too. Personal property of Jesus Christ. I am not my own, the Bible says. I've been bought with a price. Isn't it time maybe for you to just surrender to Him? Isn't it time for you to fulfill the assignment you've been given so that one day you look Jesus in the eye and He said, boy, you're a good soldier. You were a good soldier. I stationed you down there on planet Earth. It's just, listen, folks, we're an outpost of heaven is all we are. Look, if your idea is sinking down roots on the earth, you got the wrong idea, folks. As Christians, this earth's not our home. We're just passing through. We're soldiers on a mission. You know, I mean, you think about the Vietnam War, and you think about those guys that went into the jungles of Vietnam, man, and put their life on the line. You know what? I don't think any of those guys were out there in the jungles of Vietnam building themselves homes, do you? No. They were soldiers on a mission. We're soldiers on a mission. This world's not our home. Just remember that. Good soldiers fulfill the assignment they've been given. Number two, good soldiers grow and change. You know, I've had a lot of good soldiers, veterans, tell me that when you enlist in the armed forces and you serve in the armed forces, you never come out the same. They say that it changes you, usually for the good. Usually the military will instill in you character and diligence and a respect for authority and discipline. And if a soldier in boot camp is not willing to grow and learn and change, he probably isn't going to make it. He's probably not going to be a good soldier anyway. You know, that self-will has to be broken to where he's willing to change and take orders and do what they want him to do. And in the same way, as a soldier in God's army, you need to be growing and learning and changing. Paul was a great soldier for Jesus Christ, but he wasn't always that way. If you look down at verse 13, he'll tell you what he used to be before he was a good soldier. Look at verse 13. He said, who was before, talking about himself, he said, I was a blasphemer. And a persecutor, and injurious, violent, But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. You know what Paul says, Brother Larry? Paul says, you know what? I was spiritually ignorant. But Paul had grown. Paul had let the Lord change him. And in your handout, it says that when you enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, His Holy Spirit comes to live within you and begins changing you from the inside out. That's what God wants to do, is to change you. Can you please get that principle? God wants to change you. You say, what about you, Pastor Dan? Yeah, God wants to change me too. God puts His Spirit inside of us, changes our identity from within, so that the change from within will work its way out. Does that make sense? In fact, that's what 2 Corinthians 5:17 in your handout's all about. If you look at the bottom of your handout, it says, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? Yeah, now that's talking about your identity. See, old things are passed away, all things are become new. A lot of people apply that to outward actions. Really, what that verse is talking about is your inward identity. And what it's saying is, the old you is passed away. All the things that described you before Christ is done away. No longer are you sinner. No longer are you identified as just a sinner and an enemy of God and a wicked person that's separated from God. No longer are you somebody devoid of the life of God. No, all that's done away and all things are become new. Now you got the Holy Spirit in you, and He's taken you from sinner and He's made you a saint in Christ Jesus. All things are new. And God's plan is that inward change work its way out. In the military, they know that they must change the entire attitude and the mindset of the recruits. Rebellious attitudes got to be dealt with. Bad habits have to be broken. They have to overhaul that recruit to where that recruit, he or she, can be usable. And they can learn to take orders. Did you know that's exactly what God's doing in our life? Here's how God does it, okay? You know, the military put a sergeant on your back, and he does it that way, you know, some kind of a commander over you. But here's how God does it. God wants to do it too. God wants to change your whole mindset and your whole attitude. God wants to change your thinking processes. God wants to then, as He changes you from within, change you without, okay? And the way God does it, here's how God does it. God's Holy Spirit takes the Word of God. That's why it's called the sword of the Spirit. See, it's the sword. This is the sword that the Holy Spirit uses. And God begins to do this in our lives after we're saved. God wants us to be usable, Brother Rob. He wants these teenagers to be usable. He wants you to be usable. He wants you to, you know, one of the things that really hits me really hard when it comes to child rearing and my boys is it sometimes it just hits me so hard. When you know, I'm tempted to go easy and not make them obey like I should and not make them maybe show the respect that they should. And sometimes you get tired as a parent. Can I hear an amen to that? You just get weary. You just get tired. And you know what fortifies me? You know what really just keeps me? Because, you know, they say that the oldest one gets the brunt of all the discipline. Do I have any older, anyone in here that you're the oldest child in your family? Amen, somebody said. All right. And Clint is 19, then the next one's 12. Clayton's 12 and Caleb's 10. And they say that the first one gets most of the discipline. Why? Because when you typically, when you have kids, the first one, you're young and energetic, and your attitude is, I'll be more stubborn than them. And so you're just ready to just go at it with those kids, you know. And you're ready to be more stubborn than they are and discipline them. Then the tendency is to get softer because you get older and you get tired and you just, you know, you get tired of fighting. But here's what fortifies me. Here's what really gets me charged up and makes me determine that I'm not going to give in and I'm not going to let my kids disobey and I'm not going to let them disrespect authority, because I live with that fear and that understanding that if I let them disrespect me, they're going to do it to God when they grow up. If I let them disobey me and just disregard what I say, they're going to do that to God when they grow up. I mean, if they won't learn to obey me, how are they going to learn to obey the commander in chief? Amen? And so God does a work in our life to try to work in our life to mold and shape us into what He wants us to be, what He envisions you be. And a good soldier doesn't resist that. A good soldier doesn't rebel against that. A good soldier doesn't hear the preaching of God's word and say, "Ah, stupid preacher. I don't need that. Ah, I don't need to hear what he says. Ah, what does he know?" A good soldier doesn't resist when God's Holy Spirit takes the word and begins to do a work in our heart. A good soldier says, "Yes, sir. I'm going to grow and I'm going to change. And Holy Spirit, I'm going to do what your word tells me to do." Are you growing and changing? That's what a good soldier does. Number three, good soldiers understand their commander's purpose. Good soldiers understand their commander's purpose. I want to give you the next statement in your handout. A good soldier knows the heart and passion of his commander. A good soldier knows the heart and the passion of his commander. Now, do you know our commander's passion and purpose? I'm talking about Jesus. What is Jesus' heart? What's his passion? Hey, he's our commander. He's our captain. What's his purpose? What's his passion? What's he all about? I need to know that if I'm going to be a good soldier. I need to know what my commander's purpose is all about. Look down at verse 15. It's going to tell you. It says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world." There it is. He came into the world to what? Save sinners, Paul said. And he was so committed to that plan that Jesus Christ went to the cross. There he paid the death payment for my sin and your sin and the sins of the world so that we could be saved, so that we could be fully forgiven of our sins. He made the payment for our sins. And Paul knew that he was one of those sinners that Christ came to save. And Paul knew where grace and love was to be found. Look at verse 14. I love verse 14. "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant." Woo! Man, I like that. The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is where? There's where it's found. And in your handout, it says, if we are to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, we must understand Christ's purpose, His heartbeat. What was His heartbeat? Christ's heartbeat was to what? There you go. If that's His heartbeat, should that be our heartbeat? Yes or no? A few years ago, we did a missions conference, and we had the theme, missions. God's heartbeat, our heartbeat. He's our commander-in-chief. Whatever His heart, that needs to be my heart. Whatever His purpose, that's my purpose. Whatever His mission is, that's my mission. He's my commander-in-chief. I got to know His heart. His heart's to save sinners. How many of you know somebody at work? Or you know somebody in your family? You just know somebody that needs the Lord Jesus Christ, and they don't really know Him as their Savior. How many of you know somebody that needs the Lord in their life? They need Christ. Do you think Christ wants to see them saved? Yes or no? Absolutely. Now, I wonder who He might use to influence them. I'd say He's going to use a soldier, wouldn't you? And I'd say you'd be a mighty good soldier to be the one that's used. But His passion needs to be your passion. If our commander cares, we should care. Are you saved? Have you trusted Jesus Christ to save you from your sin? That's the commander's purpose. And then number four, good soldiers follow the correct pattern. Now, before we read this verse, in the military, again, I've never been in the military, but from what I understand, talking to people who have, is in the military, they typically will give you a pattern for how they want things done, and you better follow the pattern that they set. If you don't follow the pattern, it can be very detrimental. They've got a set pattern for how they want your bed made, how they want your boots polished, how they want the gun clean, how they want you to conduct yourself in combat. There is a pattern that they teach you, and they expect you to follow the pattern as a good soldier does. Our commander-in-chief's given us a pattern to follow. You say, what pattern is it? Look at verse 16, he'll tell you. He'll tell you, Mr. or Miss Soldier. Look at verse 16. Howbeit, Paul said, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering. Now look at this, for a what? Pattern. Paul said, I'm a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. If I were to go out in this city today, and if I were to poll 100 Christians that just go to church wherever, not here, but just 100 Christians that go to church somewhere in town, and they profess Christ. And if I were to say to those 100 people, what's the pattern God's given us for today? I'll bet you, you'd be lucky to find 5 that would give you the right answer. Most people don't have a clue what the pattern is for people today living in the church age. People living today in this time of grace, most people have no clue what the pattern is. But if I were to ask you, what's the pattern? Verse 16 tells you. Who is the pattern that God gave us when it comes to being saved, when it comes to realizing that we're sinners in need of a Savior? Who's the pattern? Somebody tell me, who wrote this book? Paul. Paul said, I'm a pattern. He said, just as I receive it. Think about this. Paul was Christ's chief enemy, right? He was the leader of the rebellion against Christ. So Paul's out there blaspheming, persecuting Christians. He's the enemy of Jesus Christ. And then in grace and mercy, God reaches down. He appears to Paul. Paul puts his faith in the Lord and acknowledges that Jesus Christ is Lord. And instantly at that moment, all of Paul's sins, all of his reckless behavior, all of his violence and abusiveness, all the things and all the sins of his past were immediately and completely forgiven in a moment. And Paul went from being an enemy of God to being a saint in Christ Jesus. And it was all by faith in Jesus Christ. He's the pattern, see? That's the pattern for us. Unworthy sinners saved because the grace of our Lord is exceeding abundant. Paul's our pattern. And some of you may be here this morning and you may think, well, I'm not the enemy of God. The Bible says that we were the enemy of God by wicked works, Colossians chapter 1. You say, well, that's not me. I haven't done any wicked works. Maybe by your own self-definition, you haven't done any wicked works. But I wonder what God's definition would be. Have you lied? Don't answer out loud. Have you lied? You know, the Bible says that lying is of the devil. The devil's a liar, and any lie proceeds from him. Is lying a wicked work, yes or no? Have you ever taken something that didn't belong to you? God calls that being a thief. Have you ever taken God's lovely name or the name of Jesus Christ, and have you ever used it as a slang word or a substitute cuss word or attached his lovely name to a cuss word? You know what that's called? That's one of the Ten Commandments. It's called taking God's name in vain. And you know what? God said, I'll not hold those guiltless that do that. Have you ever in your heart lusted after somebody else or had a lustful thought? God says, that's just like adultery in my eyes. Have you ever hated somebody in your heart? God says, that's just like murder in my eyes. Oh, I would say we've all, by God's definition, done wicked works. And the Bible says we are enemies of God by wicked works. So how is Paul our pattern? Paul was the enemy of God by wicked works. But did God save Paul? Yes or no? Yes. And in your handout, it says we too must admit that we are sinners and that we need a Savior. We just have to admit that we're sinners and that we need a Savior. Isn't it amazing to you? I told you earlier that I can't seem to get over the fact that young men gave their life for our country. You know, for our freedom. And I said every year at Memorial Day, I can't even hardly. It's hard to wrap your mind around the thousands and thousands of 18, 19, 20-year-olds that went out there and just gave their life on a shore, on a beach somewhere, or out in a jungle somewhere. and gave their life. And you think about that, but you know what? You know what's even more amazing to me than that? The holy, sinless Son of God who had it made in heaven. He was the center of all of heaven, the center of the universe. He humbled himself and came down to this earth. And the Bible says he died for sinners. Now that's amazing. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet what? Sinners, Christ did what? Died for us. I read a story of a young man. He was a lieutenant, went to Vietnam, was over a whole troop of men, was leading them into battle. They came under attack. They all retreated to safety except one guy. He got hit, and he was crying out in pain out there, very vulnerable. And the lieutenant could not ask any of his men to go rescue this guy. He just didn't feel right doing it. He went himself. And this lieutenant, this young man, graduated from West Point, had his whole life in front of him. He went out and he grabbed this man who was wounded. He drug him to safety. And in the process of doing this, he was shot and he ended up dying. The parents of that young man who died heard that the man's life that he saved, that man was in their area. And they asked him to come to their house and have dinner with them. They wanted to meet the man that their son had given his life for. When their honored guest arrived, he was obviously drunk. Just drunk. Rowdy. Obnoxious. Just telling off-color jokes. Showing no gratitude at all for the sacrifice that their son had made in dying to save him. And these grieving parents did the best they could to try to be polite and to try to make the visit worthwhile. No gratitude. Finally, he leaves. The husband, the dad, closes the door behind this guy as he leaves. And the mother just collapses in tears. And she said, to think that our precious son had to die for somebody like that. And can I tell you, that's what Jesus Christ did for us. While we were yet sinners, nothing to love about us, enemies of God by wicked works, but yet Christ died for us. Does that make you thankful today? Does that make you grateful to think of our Savior? And when we put our faith and we put our trust in Him, what happens? The moment I trust Him, the moment I believe that He died for me and for my sins, what happens? Look at the end of verse 16. Paul said, I'm a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him. And what happens when I believe on Christ? I get what? Oh yeah, write that in your handout. When I believe on Him, I get everlasting life. And how can I desire to be anything but a good soldier when I look at the great sacrifice that my commander made for me? To rescue me from the pit of sin. To rescue me from the pit that I was in. How can I want to be anything less than a good soldier for Him? And in your handout, this text tells us how to be a good soldier. Number one, a good soldier fulfills the assignment they've been given. What did we say number two was? Good soldiers are willing to what? They're willing to grow and change. We said number three, a good soldier understands their commander's what? Purpose. And that is to save what? Sinners. We said number four, good soldiers follow the correct what? And who's the pattern God set up for us? Paul. A sinner saved by the grace of God. Let's be good soldiers. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. And with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed, I want you to think about Jesus Christ and what He's done for you. And I want you to think and ask yourself, what changes do I need to make to be a better soldier for Christ? I want you to ask yourself that right now. What changes do I need to make to be a better soldier for Jesus Christ? with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed, Christ gave His all for you. The least we can do is give our lives to Him. Recognize His ownership of our life. Surrender, yield, be a good soldier. Right now, why don't you pray and do business with God? Let the Lord know that you want to be a good soldier. One day when you look Him in the eye, may He say, "Well done. Well done. You've been a good soldier." With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I wonder, is there anybody here this morning that would say, "Pastor Dan, if I died today, I'm not sure that I would go to heaven. I'm not sure that my sins are forgiven. I'm not 100% sure if I die today, I go to heaven. Pastor Dan, pray for me." Would you lift your hand up right now if you're just not sure? Say, "I'm just not sure if I die today, I go to heaven. Pastor Dan, pray for me." Anybody like that? Thank you. Thank you. You can put it right back down. Anybody else? "If I die today, I'm not 100% sure I go to heaven." Anybody else? Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Anybody else? "Pray for me. I'm not sure if I die today, I go to heaven." Anyone else? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you so much. You can put it right back down. All I can tell you, friend, if you just raised your hand, oh, how Christ wants to save you today. Oh, how He loves you and He gave His life for you. And in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to come and let somebody take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. And I want you to think very seriously about coming this morning, coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, letting Him save you today so that this can be the day of your salvation. We had a dear lady come and get saved and walk the aisle in the 9:30 service, and we would love for you to come this morning. Oh, how we would love for you to come. With our heads bowed and with our eyes closed, I want you to think about your soul. Think about your life. Think about eternity. Oh, your life is so short compared to eternity. Why don't you make that decision today? Let's pray.